Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
And I usually end these reports, as you know, with notable deaths. But some are obviously headlines, as were playwrights named Sondheim and Stoppard. And this past week, we lost a pair of longtime, much-admired performers, Dolly Parton and Tim Curry. Well, the good news is that Dolly, a true original musical, the upcoming Broadway production, will now serve as the late superstar's final passion project. It will begin previews on Broadway in December for a January 19th official opening. The show's producer said, as was Dolly's wish, the Broadway production will begin previews at the St. James Theater in New York City. Of course, her philanthropic work will live on. And the lobby at Studio 54, where the revival of Rocky Picture, a Horror Show is playing, features memories of Tim Curry. He had a long career, but that's likely the one many still associate him with. Yep, Frankenfurter mean anything to you? Besides that one, he embodied the bratty composer Mozart in the original 1980 Broadway production of Amadeus. I don't remember that. The singing serial killer Mack the Knife in Threepenny Opera, and the comedic King Arthur in Monty Python's Spamalot. On screen, Tim Curry excelled at some scene-stealing characters as well, whether cast as a rascally villain, Rooster in Annie, the frenetic butler, Wadsworth in Clue, or the terrifying killer clown, Pennywise, in the made-for-television adaptation of It, that was by Stephen King. Both Curry and Dolly were 80 years old. Now, as for what's coming, this one has me intrigued. Here there are blueberries. A Pulitzer Prize finalist about museum archivists wrestling with photographs of Nazi social life. That one is coming to Broadway this fall. The drama reconstructs the true story of how the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum responded when the troubling photographs, which show concentration camp workers at leisure and not their suffering victims, were gifted to them in 2007. The Pulitzers describe the play as an elegant and harrowing work of documentary theater that examines the provenance of a photo album from Auschwitz and probes the unsolvable mystery of how individuals can insist on normalcy while atrocity lurks outside the frame. Wow, quite a quote. The play, by the way, is written by Moises Kaufman and Amanda Roenick. It's scheduled to begin a 10-week run at the Barrymore Theater. On a similar subject, by the way, Survivors, which I've discussed here, a play done out of Los Angeles so far, that just had a powerful performance at the Kirk Douglas Theater in Los Angeles. It honored the Kirk Douglas Family Foundation. Audiences for this one are usually introduced to an actual Holocaust survivor at the end of the evening. Apparently, it all went very, very well. And then there are the closings. This one made news. After 2,178 performances, the hit Broadway musical Six will end its run at the Lena Horne Theater on January 3rd. It's the longest running show in the history of that theater and the 40th longest running show in Broadway history and the 7th longest running Broadway show to have originated in the United Kingdom. So there you go. Six began performances in 2020. Its original opening night was March 12th. That's the date of the COVID-19 shutdown. Boy, we all remember where we were. Then it became the first new musical to return to Broadway after theaters reopened. Also closing, by the way, is Music City, a small show that's been very popular at St. Luke's. I've reviewed it here. Now, on the other coast, which, of course, I also report about, the Odyssey in West Los Angeles has Enemy of the People. Its current interpreter, Bart DiLorenzo, says, "I was struck by this letter that Ibsen writes to his publisher, where he says he's not sure if this play is a comedy or a drama. I've really tried to embrace the comedy, because some scenes are completely satirical and fun. I wanted to present this play in all its kaleidoscopic power instead of just as a political tract." Anyway, he promises the audience will be encountering the whole play, but he's also updated the period. The look of the media landscape now centers on the internet and social media. Sounds fascinating. I hope that's still there by the time I get back. That's at the Odyssey, Enemy of the People. I did take time this week to write an essay, by the way, about what is a visionary. I think I've discussed that subject here. In theater, well, you know, who saw an 817-page history book and turned it into a rap musical? Yes, thank you, Lin-Manuel. And then there was Robert Hammond, who saw the city's old unused railroad tracks and envisioned a walking park. Well, where would the city be without the High Line? So now it's a week off for me, so I can watch the drama on New York's most famous tennis courts. First night, as in last night or 2 nights ago, I watched till 11:30 p.m. and watched Djokovic going down in a huge upset. Witnessing him throwing up on court made for unpleasant viewing, shall I say? But hey, he's had an amazing career. I hope he gets to that 55 win that he wants. Been a big week at the US Open. We'll see if we like Roger Federer. Anyway, that's it for me, and I'll see you next time.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.